You're listening to Radio Diaries. This is Joe, and I have some exciting news from the Radiotopia family. Ear Hustle is back with a new season. Hosts Nigel Poor and Earlonne Woods are bringing you unique, surprising stories from four California prisons. This season, they have some truly interesting perspectives. You'll hear from people who are so comfortable in prison that they no longer want to be free. And you'll hear from mothers of inmates about the complicated reality of having adult children in prison. The show is full of candid interviews and thought-provoking conversations, and it just keeps getting better. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts and at earhustlesq.com. This episode of Radio Diaries has support from Indeed. Finding new hires shouldn't feel like a second job, and that's why Indeed only matches you with quality candidates that fit your job description. Indeed makes hiring more organized. You can screen, message, and schedule interviews with candidates all in one place. So try it out. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/diaries. Just go to Indeed.com/diaries right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Radio Diaries is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Radiotopia. From PRX.
From PRX's Radiotopia, this is Radio Diaries. I'm Joe Richman. This week marks a very special anniversary for our show. It's been 25 years since I first started giving people tape recorders to report on their own lives.
Hello? Nope, wrong button. There. Hello?
Over the next couple weeks, we're going to be celebrating that milestone by checking in with a couple of people who were part of our very first series. Back then, it was called Teenage Diaries.
Oh, let me do the introduction now.
It was Melissa, a teen mom living on her own.
We would have recorded the birth, but it happened so fast.
Josh, who had Tourette's syndrome.
Most of the time I can't control what comes out of my mouth. I control what comes out of my ass better than what comes out of my mouth.
Frankie in Alabama with a Cadillac and a family secret.
Hi, my name is Frankie, and I'm going to give you a little tour on my Cadillac here.
And Juan, an undocumented teenager who crossed the Rio Grande into Texas.
You see, we came all the way from Zacatecas, about 18 hours, just to come 300 feet into the United States.
And then there was the very first diarist I ever worked with.
Hey, it's Amanda Katz from Connecticut, formerly known as Amanda Brand from Queens.
Amanda, you were our very first teenage diarist, the first person that I ever gave a tape recorder to 25 years ago. Can you talk about what that teenage diary was about?
Basically, it was about my sexuality, and I was raised Roman Catholic. So, you know, gay is something that is not okay. Life is very different now, 25 years later, and looking back on it is almost surreal that it feels like it's been forever, but at the same time, it feels like just yesterday.
Well, so later in the show, we're going to hear something that you recorded as a follow-up with your parents years later. But first, let me get you to introduce your teenage diary.
Okay. So this is Amanda, and this is my teenage diary, my story from 25 years ago when I was 17. So it's Amanda from Queens.
We're fiending. Okay, open up that door, girls. We need a light, unless you got one.
What about your mom?
What
are
about
you
us?
Gonna smoke that rotten cigarette?
Oh, man, I know it's rotten. Who has that cigarette?
Me.
Give it to me.
My name is Amanda, and I'm 17 years old. I live in Queens.
Is it bad?
Hell yes.
Let me try it.
Oh, God. Fridays and Saturday nights, we just drive around like a bunch of lowlives looking for things to do.
Where are these people? Anybody you know?
No.
People think I'm a little on the weird side, but I don't think I'm on the weird side. Basically, I wear like a cross between skater clothes and like industrial gothic style. I think it's a neat combination. My parents think I should dress more feminine, but what do they know, right? They grew up back in ancient times.
11:58, and we still haven't found something to do. We're getting kind of desperate.
Yeah.
I guess in a way, I always known that I was bisexual. Just like when I was in the first grade and I used to live like in my old house down on my grandmother's block now, all the kids used to be friends and we always used to go into the backyards and like play these little games. And I remember one day we were playing a game. It was kind of like Sleeping Beauty, where like the prettiest girl on the block fell asleep on her picnic bench. And you know, somebody had to go and like wake her up to like kiss her and revive her. And it would always be, you know, one of the boys. And I always felt like I wanted to go and revive her. Rotary phone. Dawn, what you doing? Been going out with Dawn for 2 years and 5 months now. We've known each other for practically 3 years. And I am totally, madly, head over heels in love with her. I'll probably come and get you after I'm done, okay? All right. Bye-bye. And I go see my little baby, my girlfriend. I didn't get a chance to describe her yet, so I'm gonna do it now. She has long black hair that goes down to around the middle of her back. She has brown eyes. You know how they always say that there's one particular thing that attracts you to somebody, one thing that stands out that you can grab onto and just be totally attracted to that person. And about Dawn is it's her voice. You could fall in love with her just by listening to her voice. Yeah? That's my mother making coffee. During the school week, it's pretty much boring around my house. It's a Tuesday night and the television's on. Everybody just sits around and does their homework. You know, regular family life. I mean, at least for me. I don't know too much about other families. Oof, excuse me. I burp like a fanatic. My mother's always yelling at me, how are you supposed to find a man? There we go again, how are we supposed to find a man? I tell her I'm like, I'm not interested in men, you know? And she just like, she's like, all right, whatever. My parents know that I'm bisexual, but they don't talk about it much. You know, my father doesn't really talk much at all. My mother, on the other hand, when I first told her, and she reacted totally crazy.
It was all against my growing up beliefs.
Anyone who was gay or was lesbian was considered sick.
Sick.
Wasn't accepted in the Catholic Church at all. It wasn't accepted. So I've grown up with that concept all my life. So to hear that that's you, wouldn't that blow your mind?
But I mean, now in like the 20th century, where it's like really common to hear that somebody's gay and it's like all over the place.
Well, I think they're trying to make it common, but it shouldn't be common. It's not natural. And I mentioned that to you several times. That is not what God intended. I know in today's world you hear all kinds of TV programs saying, oh, this is it, that's it. That still doesn't make it right.
It does. It makes it right if you feel. You don't know this, but how come when I was, like, younger, I felt this way?
All girls feel that way.
Since I was in first grade?
Yes. Little girls feel that way all the time.
You felt that way too?
Yes. Yes. That's common.
How do you feel about it, Dad?
About what?
How do you feel about me?
Fine. What about it?
Sexuality-wise.
Well, you're 17 years old. You're not definite. You're not formed in your ways.
Someone at 17 does not know what is at the other end of the line. Anybody.
How do you know?
There's just not enough life that you've seen. You haven't seen enough. You haven't done enough. You have not lived.
Well, over 2 years and then 5 months have gone by, and that's what I believe.
I think if a good fella came by and really treated you right, your mind will switch.
My mind will switch. So it's all in my mind.
It is. It's all in your mind right now. You just don't say, well, this is how I feel, and this is how I'm going to be for the rest of my life.
I'm not saying that's how I'm going to be for the rest of my life, and I'm not saying that I'm not going to have sex with a guy. I'm saying that I do. I want to go and have sex with a guy. It's not happened yet.
I hope not.
No, it's not, but I mean, I'm going to. I'm not going to, like, deny myself of that.
Well, that's what I said. Don't deny yourself of that. And you may find, when you do that, that your whole outlook may change.
It's just not like, oh, this is somebody's decision. They don't really know what they want right now. I've been out with guys while I've been going out with Dawn. Dawn's been out with guys while she's been going out with me. I mean, we're really close. And there's, like, a love there. More for me towards her than her towards me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But we're with each other, you know?
Well, maybe that's just a good friendship. You love friends.
Yeah, but I don't do what I do with Dawn with friends. Do you know what I mean? You don't do what you do with Dad with friends, you know? My parents just think that this is like a phase. Like when, you know, the guys used to get earrings or when they used to wear ponytails when I was little, that was a phase to them. They think that this is a phase, but I don't think it's a phase. I think this is me. I don't know what to say. That's how I feel. And it doesn't really bother me. It doesn't bother me.
Oh, is this? Oh, I love this song. Do you see the video?
Yes.
The video's cool too.
No matter what anybody is, I don't care. I don't care if you're like half horse, half fish. You're proud of what you are, you know? My parents don't dislike me. They just don't agree with me. They just don't think that it's natural, which I understand, you know, I see their point. They grew up in a totally different time, and that's fine, but they're getting used to it, you know, and they're going to have to get used to it, because pretty soon when I bring my wife over to their house to eat dinner, you know, with my kids, they're just going to be like, okay, fine, you know, that's how it's going to be.
Amanda, tell me about listening to that again after all these years.
Again, it makes me cry. Actually, now I'm starting to realize it's not my mother's reaction. It's my reaction. When you start to hear, like at the beginning, okay, like I'm battling it. I'm sticking up for myself. But there's one point where I lose it. You can hear it in my voice. And that makes me lose it. It's like, where'd that strength go? You know, like get back up and fight. Because you know you're right. That's it.
When I hear your story, one thing I think about is, you know, on one level, you hear your mom having such a hard time with you and being gay and struggling with it. But the other side of that is I hear her as participating in this story and in this conversation and letting you participate in it. And I remember, too, after the story, how supportive she was. And I think, like, wow, she didn't agree, but she was still right there with you on some level, you know.
Yeah. Because that woman loves me to death.
She really does. She proves it every day. So, you know, it's not the words that come out of her mouth, because her actions prove so much different than, you know, what she says. It just shows who she really is as a person, you know, like Catholic Church, Schmatholic Church, you know, she, you know, regardless, she loves us and loves me. And that's all that matters to me.
And so you went back just recently and you played it for her and you guys sat around and you listened, you and your mom and your dad. What was that like?
I feel like it was a great conversation. I feel like it was a great kind of cleansing and healing of just a question and answer. It was comfortable.
All right, I'm just going to record. Dad, give us a little bit of something.
This is a test of the recording to see if it records at a good volume.
And Mom, give us a little something.
This is also a test coming from the other side of the table.
And do you still think it's a phase?
Well, we know it's not a phase. But it did take me a few years to accept the whole thing.
Well, one of the reasons why I have a little bit of a hard time listening to the story from before is because I feel that even though you love me unconditionally and you always have, there was that little sting of you're sick, you're not normal. It kind of hurts to hear that.
You know, we were brought up being taught differently. But I think we as a family have really evolved. Everything is changing. I mean, you can even see it in television programs and movies, and it's such an accepted thing, and it's a good thing, because now I see your side.
You see, you have the personality to be kind of pushing the limits, whereas my personality is work within the system as it exists. So I think that the evolution came about because of people like you who were pushing the edge and allowing people like me to grow from within.
Right.
But like, so now, does it make you nervous in any way?
Not at all. Matter of fact, I am so proud of you that I just brag about you to my friends. And I say, she's gay, you know. And that's fine.
That's a good answer. That makes me sad. Like, in a good way. But no, that's really nice to hear.
You know, we hope you continue to be happy and that you find companionship. And that's what we're looking forward to.
Well, so, Dad sure is talking a lot more than he did.
I know. What a turnaround. What are the people going to say?
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for opening our eyes.
Aww. That was nice.
So, Amanda, that conversation was recorded a few years ago. And in that follow-up, your parents say that they hope you find companionship.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did find companionship. So my wife's name is Betsy. I knew her when she was pregnant with our children, which she did all on her own. And we were friends. And we started dating in 2015. And we dated until November of 19 that we got married. And then my kids are twins, and Grace is my daughter, Grace Rose, and Benjamin Adam is my son. And they're both 9.
Do you want to bring them in and say hi?
Yeah. I mean, Ben is sleeping, unfortunately. But I have Grace and I have Betsy, so let me grab them. Hold on a second. Open a very creaky door. Guys, you want to come in for a second? Hold on, let's put the volume up.
Baby, are you crying?
I was. I'm always crying. All right.
Hello.
Can you hear?
I can hear. Hello.
Hi.
You're going to talk into the...
Good to meet you in this strange podcast way.
Yeah, we're excited. Grace thinks she's going to get famous.
So have any of you listened to Amanda's Teenage Diary?
I have, yes.
What'd you think?
It's like I immediately felt like she was like this gay celebrity. I was like, you know, I was crying, I think, through a lot of it. I found it very touching, very real, but hard at certain points to hear, I would say.
I have a clip I want to play for both of you. I was going to play it for just for Amanda, but I think maybe it'd be fun to just have both of you listen right now.
Okay, cool.
And it's just the very tail end of your diary, Amanda.
My parents don't dislike me. They just
don't agree with me. They just don't think that it's natural, which I understand. You know, I see their point. They grew up in a totally different time, and that's fine, but they're getting used to it, you know, and they're going to have to get used to it, because pretty soon when I bring my wife over to their house to eat dinner, you know, with my kids, they're just going to be like, okay, fine, you know? That's how it's going to be.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's how it's going to be. Uh-huh. That's how it is.
And look, to their credit, there was never a...
Did you ever feel uncomfortable?
Never. Never.
If I remember, I was on the back porch when I was ending that. I was sitting out. It was cold, so it was in the winter months. And I was kind of like, I'm going to bend them. That was kind of like what I was thinking in that moment. And I did. I bent them before Betsy even came around. So it was like when it was finally time to have the girlfriend at the time and the kids come over, I don't know. It wasn't like a breakthrough kind of thing. It was just kind of organic.
Mm-hmm. It felt normal to
you,
right?
Yeah, totally felt normal.
Right? Do you want to say anything?
You want to say goodbye?
Bye-bye.
Do you have any feelings on any of this?
Bye.
Having two mommies or anything?
Well, I think it's totally awesome.
It's, you know, it's a little scary, too, for raising children as two lesbians. Even though the world has changed and it is definitely more accepted, right? There's still some stuff that happens.
Like every kid in our class, they have a mom and a dad like that. But I have two moms, so I'm special and I like it.
You are special and it's fun. Yeah. Yeah.
As a teenager, could you imagine how things would end up, you know?
No, I mean, first of all, when I was 17, I never even thought about really having kids. You know, I said those things, but it's like, did I really sit down and think about what that really means? As a 17-year-old, no, I did not. I did not think about what does it mean to have a family? What does it mean to be married to somebody? You know, there's still a lot. There's still a lot of moments where I'm scared as a parent. And it's not because I'm gay and I'm a parent. It's because I'm a parent. And it's like, holy shit, like, this is not easy. This is scary. You know, you want to protect them. So I can only imagine what my mother was feeling when she was only a parent to me and saying, you know, I want to protect her. Like, I don't want her to be bullied, be hurt, be looked at differently because she's gay. You know? Mm. So I get where she was coming from.
It's beautiful. You can look back then and kind of see it through your mother's eyes.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Amanda, how's it been having someone document your life over these years? You know, checking in now and again.
It is a strange thing. You know, your diary that you write in doesn't ever talk back to you or, like, you know, fall off the bookshelf when it's, like, you know, 20 years later because it wants you to read it again. It's like you're almost forcing me to take a look back and reevaluate, like, where I am, how did I get here? It's intense, but I like it. How does it feel to, not to flip the question back on you, but how does it feel to, like, have a relationship with all these people that, you know, especially these kids, all these other kids that were doing these diaries, how does that to have relationships that are constantly morphing and you're taking notes?
It's intense, but I like it.
Yeah.
A lot has changed in the 25 years since I first gave Amanda a tape recorder. From cassettes to flash drives, splicing tape to keyboard commands, broadcast to podcasts. And today, everybody carries a recorder in their pocket. But one thing hasn't changed. A microphone is still a passport to places and people that we might not otherwise meet. That still seems as important as ever. Radio Diaries is produced by me, Joe Richman, Nellie Gillis, Elisa Escarce, Stephanie Rodriguez, and Micah Hazel. A special thank you today to our editors, Deborah George and Ben Shapiro, who have been helping to make our stories better for the entire 25 years that we've been doing this.
Radio Diaries is part of the Radiotopia Network from PRX. You can hear all the shows at radiotopia.fm. We have support from the National Endowment for the Humanities, National Endowment for the Arts, NISCA, and from listeners like you. And this week, a deep, special, quarter-century thank you to Amanda, formerly from Queens, for being our very first radio diary. We'll be back in 2 weeks with an update from Juan, the teenager who crossed the Rio Grande 25 years ago and has been living undocumented in the United States ever since. I'm Joe Richman. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia from PRX.